Welcome into the Blue Hen Sports Cage podcast. This is a special edition the day after game two of the NBA Finals. I'm Brandon Halvek with Ahmed Quadri. We are getting set to give you a full in-depth analysis of games one and two of the NBA Finals. Again, this is a special edition of the Blue Hen Sports Cage podcast, not our regularly scheduled show, but we're hopping in the studio an extra day because we got to break this down. A pretty interesting series so far. Golden State up 2-0 after taking down Cleveland in dominant fashion last night.
Excited. Let's talk games one and two. A lot going on. And finally, to get some good, I guess you would say, quality basketball after about a week and a half of waiting. But how quality is it exactly? I guess we got to get into that.
So last night, Golden State takes care of business 132-118, I believe, which makes the point differential in games one and two 42 points. But that's not far off from what the point differential was in last year's series. Golden State actually outscored Cleveland in games one and two by 48 points, and we all know what happened after that. Cleveland coming back from a 3-1 deficit, one of the all-time best NBA Finals comebacks and kind of the hallmark of LeBron James's career thus far. But Ahmed, this is a different series, and my first question to you is, does Cleveland have any chances? This series already over.
I mean, yeah, we can't get like too carried away, because remember last year, 2-0, Steve Kerr said it yesterday in the presser last night. He said, I would be excited that we're up 2-0, but we were up 2-0 last year too. So what does that really mean? Again, they didn't have Kevin Durant last year, so I think that's a little bit of a different story. But again, with that being said, even if they are up 3-1, like, they were up 3-1 last year too. So again, you can never get too carried away, because the best player on the team, on the floor, really, on the planet, is not on the Warriors. He's on the Cavs, and that's LeBron James. So I mean, say what you want. It's a good series. I guess the score doesn't really tell the story. Last night was I'm surprised, competitive. Don't look at the score as 19 points differential, but it was pretty competitive. First game, although it was closer, I mean, it didn't really feel that way.
A 3-point deficit for Cleveland at the half. What went wrong for them in the second half that allowed Golden State to pull away in game two?
I mean, they didn't really stick to the game plan. You saw LeBron, right? I mean, he was charging to the hole. Yeah. I mean, he's being physical. You didn't see any of that in the second half, and they kind of got complacent. LeBron shot like about three threes that in a matter of about under 4 minutes didn't go in. Kind of, they got complacent. They got, I guess, satisfied with a game plan that wasn't really in the game plan to start with. And it's kind of disappointing to see LeBron not attack. You're asking a lot from him too. You saw he was crazy winded last night. It was really interesting to see how tired the Cavs were.
I mean, he goes for 29 points, 14 assists, and 11 rebounds.
Great game, yeah. So can't take that away from him.
It's a great game, but you still kind of leave yourself, like you were saying, wanting more. I think you're onto something with him going to the hoop. I think they had success with that early on. Especially,
you can't do that for 39 minutes, though. That's how many minutes he played last night, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
But when he's driving in, one, they put Draymond Green in foul trouble, which, you know, that's always a good thing. He's probably
five fouls last night.
Yeah, five fouls. He only played, I think, 25 minutes.
Yep.
But then when they go to that lineup with just shooters around him, and he's kicking the ball out, and you got Kyle Korver, Channing Frye hitting threes, I think they were successful with that, but then they weren't able to keep it up, and Golden State did. I mean, we can talk about their offense in a little bit, but kind of starting with the Cavs.
What's
here
up with J.R. Smith?
I mean, send a search party for J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson.
Fun fact, I mean, for J.R. Smith, he's averaging more fouls than he is points. So I don't know who came up with that one, but that's a very funny thing to consider, because J.R., as streaky as he is, I mean, he can really change the tide of a game.
Especially working off of a guy like LeBron, if he's
shooting
the ball, you have to pull guys off of LeBron. If you're Golden State, you have no problem when LeBron, gets inside, doubling him, but that requires Cleveland to have somebody else doing some damage. And LeBron last night, triple-double, the eighth of his career, which is tied for the most in NBA history for most triple-doubles in a playoff career, but What else can they do around him to keep up with this Golden State team? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of answers elsewhere around this team.
Yeah.
What did you think of Kyrie Irving last night? A lot of people saying he didn't have a great game. I still saw a lot of those highlight reel plays.
I kind of feel like that juice wasn't there. You know that juice he plays with? I mean, I mean, tell me if you disagree, but he's the best finisher in the game. And he's averaging 2 to 3 solid finishes in the paint. He's not really doing it like he was. And this kind of speaks volume about the East and how really uncompetitive it was for them coming to the East. He can't get through. He's having trouble getting through McGee. We haven't seen too much of him. Zaza kind of meets him at the rim occasionally. Again, the big guy's not playing as much for Golden State. But even with guys like Andre Iguodala or Kevin Durant, I think he had 2 good finishes last night. I could be wrong, but he had about 2.
I remember that the one where he's ISO'd on Ian Clark on the left side.
He was dancing on him.
And then I think it's David West he went up against on the right and then goes under him with the left. I mean, that's like that vintage.
He said, "Can I have this dance?"
And
he put him on skates.
I mean, that's like the vintage Kyrie, but I don't know if we saw enough
more
of that.
I need to see more of that. And again, I'm still not sure how comfortable I am with his jumper. He had like 2 jump shots that just did not look right at all. They hit like the front of the rim. They were short. I don't know. I think Kyrie's got to get going here. He had a couple of 40-point games. He had 1 40-point game last.
In the Boston series.
Yes, and last year in the finals too.
Yeah.
He was really the difference maker in my opinion. You know, LeBron obviously put up the numbers we were expecting him to put, but Kyrie has to come because that's 2 out of 3 right there. And third guy is Kevin Love. Both games, he had phenomenal games.
In both games? I would push back on game one. I think...
Yeah, I mean, he had a great stat line.
I mean, he had 21 rebounds.
He had a great stat line.
But I think a lot of
15,
that's the pace.
15, 20, and like 5, I think he had, or something like that.
Yeah.
But a solid stat line.
I think game two, first half, he looked really good.
Yeah.
They were getting a lot going through Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
They had the one time he was inside on, I think, Clay. And you're thinking, like, if Golden State's going small... Maybe Cleveland can get some inside baskets with Kevin Love, but then by the second half, again, send a search party for Kevin Love because I didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
Especially because he was knocking down threes. He was inside. That was the Kevin Love game we've seen throughout these playoffs. But kind of like last year, he disappears in the second half. Maybe they need more from Kyrie, like we were saying.
Yeah.
What about Kevin Love? What more can they expect from him, a guy who last year missed a game with a concussion in the finals, but... Overall, I think it's safe to say it was a non-factor in last year's finals, but maybe has stepped up his game to this point in the season this year.
He's definitely stepped up his game, but he has to keep it going. He has to be a double-double machine every single night. And again, I thought he had a solid stat line first game. Second game was overall better. Again, you said not too much going on in the second half for him. You're right, but still made a few shots. But that's what you get from Kevin Love. I still think he overachieved this playoff in general. Again, it's Kyrie and LeBron. They have to step up here. For LeBron, it's tough because you see him facilitating, as we see so many times, making those extra passes, the skip passes, the dangerous passes with that vision that he has. But then sometimes he kind of just goes into his zone and drives and is very effective. So I still think LeBron is also finding his balance. Even though he's also had 2 great games in the playoffs, I still think they're finding that balance because we didn't really see that last night. We didn't see him really drive and maybe kick it out and find other teammates. He had some nice passes.
At least in the second half. I don't think we saw a lot of that.
Correct, yeah, especially in the second half. But we haven't seen that overall A to Z, top to bottom player that LeBron has been. And, you know, he quite possibly is the greatest all-around player of all time. We haven't really seen that from him yet. So that is kind of interesting to see how he could blend maybe games 1 and 2 together for game 3.
Cleveland drops both games, 42-point deficit. And on the other side, it's a Golden State team that last year won 73 games. This year, once again, led the Western Conference and the NBA with the most wins in the league. And quite frankly, offensively, they're looking unstoppable. Your impressions on Golden State's offense through games 1 and 2?
Oh, man, it's got to be the fast break. They're killer in the fast break. They just get you so winded. I mean, I mentioned LeBron getting tired. You saw the whole team. Ty Lue, again, still does a great job of using his lineups. I think he's doing a fine job of that, but that team just got so tired. What is their record? It's like 22-0 when they score 25 plus fast break points a game. They're virtually unbeatable when they score a certain amount of fast break points.
Yeah.
So that fast break, that transition, offense and defense, something that we haven't seen before, honestly. And I mean, Jeff Van Gundy said it during the game. I'm going to have to tell him to calm down a little bit, take a chill pill
okay,
here.
Because I was going
to
ask you about that
he
later
said,
on.
What did he say? What did he say? He said
he
top two
said
greatest.
Best duo in
Stop
NBA
it, Jeff.
History,
Stop
Kevin
it.
Durant and Steph Curry.
He's wild. He's I don't know what he's on. He's probably looking at Rihanna
so,
again
so
when
you're
he said that.
You're shooting that 100% down at
was
this
he,
point?
I think because he was on the Knicks coaching staff when Kobe and Shaq were doing their thing. Uh-huh. I mean, Kobe and Shaq still the best duo of all time in any sports. And then you got to throw Pippen and Jordan up there. Not to say that Durant and Curry might not pass them.
Magic and Kareem
was a good one too. Not as many years, but Magic and Kareem was a good one.
Stockton Malone.
So, I mean, I'll ask you this too. Do you think Durant and Curry can get up? I think they can get up there eventually, but I mean, let's give them a title first and then see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's premature.
If they sweep, yeah, I get it. You know, you start the conversation, but still one heck of a combination.
If you were going to say, like, let's play 2-on-2 between Kobe, Shaq versus, like,
oh, see, that's a good
KD,
question now, yeah.
Curry, I think KD Curry doesn't really have a chance in that just because mm-hmm. Curry's going to be smaller than a lot of these guys we're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no way that either of those guys could guard Shaq, but, you know, they're playing in such a different league that if you want to talk about the impact that these guys are having, they could get there. I mean, we've seen now back-to-back games for Kevin Durant over 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think defensively, which I think we'll get to in a minute, he was maybe even more impressive last night. But the offense, they're bombs away, both of them. Curry last night, a triple-double, 30 points plus for him. If you look at the impact that they're having on this series, it's significant, but I agree with you in that throwing them into historical context at this point, I think maybe you look at the team as a whole. Is this the most talented team we've seen? That's probably a closer discussion because you're bringing in two more All-Stars to the fold. But as far as a duo, it's tough to put Curry Durant there. And because the way that they play, it's not like they're running pick and rolls with each other. They have so many people involved in their offense. They're just the two heads of it, the two main stars, and they're spending a lot of time not on the floor with each other.
You know, it would be really interesting to see because people love their hypothetical, so I'll throw it out there too. 0-1 Lakers versus this year's Warriors. And I think that'd be a really good matchup.
Yeah.
Because not only did they have good perimeter shooting for their time, the Lakers, they also have Shaq, who's a big man, which was virtually non-existent this year and virtually non-existent in the finals. You've seen Zaza get maybe double-digit minutes, and maybe McGee get a few garbage-time minutes. But overall, center's not playing very much.
Zaza played 14 and 13 minutes.
And I think
McGee's playing less than
under
like 10.
Six
yeah,
each game. Yeah. So I think that's interesting. You look at the other side, Kevin Love kind of stepped up, being that center role. That's been interesting. And we'll talk about Tristan Thompson,
too. Yeah, I was
about
to say, like, can you even play Tristan Thompson in this series? He's been such a non-factor.
So let's start with that. My guy has 8 rebounds. Come on, dude. You're getting paid.
Steph Curry had 10 yesterday.
Last night. He has 8 total in 2
games.
Oh,
that's in 2?
That's in 2 games.
How many did he have yesterday?
He had 8 yesterday, I think, because he had 0 the first game. Remember? I'm pretty sure it's something like that.
Yeah.
He had 0 the first game. He had 8 yesterday. So he's averaging 4 rebounds a game. A guy getting paid, what, $88 million or something?
I'm not exactly
to just
sure.
To literally, his only job is to get rebounds.
And, the rebound... Rebound and putbacks was what he did for them last year.
And he
year.
Got, what, 4 points, 8 rebounds last night? I mean, nah, man. Come on, dude.
And matchup-wise, Golden State's definitely abusing him on the pick and roll.
He just looks uncomfortable out there.
If Golden State's playing Draymond Green, or even we saw last night Kevin Durant at center, Tristan Thompson just can't be in the game because they're going to bring either of those two guys up to screen for Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. And then now you have a healthy Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, who had a big bounce back game last night, up against Tristan Thompson, and he just can't hang. And you can't have that when on the other end, Ahmed, like you were saying, you don't have that rebounding impact or any scoring production from Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get going. I don't know. I really don't want to put in the Kardashian curse, but I think that's real, man. He's got to get rid of Khloe because he's on that Kardashian curse now. Is officially strike.
So we have Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. We've talked about each of those three. Are there any other players on Cleveland's team as we kind of think about what they could do to try to counteract what we've seen from Golden State. Is there anybody else that can step up and make an impact in this series? Before we get into the historical context of all this, sticking with that original question of, does Cleveland have a chance? Is there anybody that could give them a better chance?
Well, I made matchups earlier in our show Thursday, and I kind of broke it all down, and the only kind of outlier was Klay Thompson, and I kind of put him as my X factor because I paired off the two point guards. I paired off the two best players.
Just a quick thing on that. Like, right now, that's not even. Right now, Steph Curry is destroying Kyrie
Irving's
impact.
It's not at all. And Kyrie Irving's defense, subpar defense, is showing now.
Yeah, he's being exposed.
And Kevin Love and Draymond Green, I think that's a good matchup. And then Klay Thompson didn't really get paired off, and I didn't think he deserved to because you're kind of, you know, giving Klay benefit of the doubt. I kind of didn't. I know he had a few good playoff games, but I wanted to see him put together a really good series. Mm-hmm. First game, nothing. A lot of volume shots, but three buckets
He was 3 of 16. He was 3 of 16 in game one, 0 for 5 from 3. It was
shooter's
going
to shoot,
game.
But I mean, that's a pretty bad game for him. But he rose to the occasion last night. What did you think about him? I actually enjoyed watching him. I think not only were his buckets timely, but they got the crowd into it. Well, not that the Curry buckets pulling up from 30 didn't get them into it, but he was timely and he showed up and he got the crowd into it. He had a couple of exciting and-one buckets, and he had a couple dagger threes that really hurt them late in the second half. So, you know, shout out to Klay for really coming out to play. And again, this is one game. He still needs to put a series of games together to have a good playoff series.
Sure, but even if he doesn't, even if he shoots 3 of 16,
right?
Like with this team, I don't even know if it matters.
That's true.
Because you were talking about this great game he had, and he did. He was plus 24 in the plus minus. He was 8 of 12 from the field. He was 4 of 7 from 3. And he had the third best game on his team. That's just how deep this team is. He was fun to watch. His threes in transition, when they're pulling up confidently, him, Curry, Durant, like you said, Oracle goes wild. And you can see it in their eyes if they make a defensive play, if they make a steal, get out in transition. Sometimes they have better options, and a Curry or a Thompson will just pull up from 33 and knock down a shot that's contested, or they'll go straight to the rim. Kevin Durant at the end of the game got knocked to the ground and a double team throws up the layup off the glass and makes it. They can get a basket at will.
He had 5 blocks last night also.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We'll get that in a second. So I think Thompson was really impressive, and maybe for his own like personal standing, whether or not he's a star player in this league, sure, he needs to put more games in, but we saw in game one, they won by over 15 points, and him and Draymond Green shot 6 of 28 combined from the field. They don't need everybody to win against any other team in this league. They need maybe 1-2 out of the 4 to have good performances. Yeah. Last night, they score 132 because you have 3 of the 4 with big performances. And even Draymond Green, in limited time because of his foul trouble, had a good game.
Yeah, what a luxury it is when Draymond Green gets his 5th foul and you got to take Kevin Durant off the bench because he didn't get enough rest. But, oh, boo-hoo, you take
and
Kevin Durant.
As we've said, how about Kevin Durant playing defense like Draymond Green last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said the 5 blocks, 3
steals.
And I
will say this, too, about Klay Thompson. I've given him some heat in the last week or two, but I think the man has been putting in a great defensive effort day in and day out.
I mean, we want to talk about Kyrie Irving's impact. Some of that credit has to go to Klay Thompson defensively.
Klay Thompson, very first play of the finals. Kevin Love forces an air ball. I mean, he made his imprint right off the bat. I mean, so shout out to the Warriors for just playing good team defense. They're kind of showing everybody they're more than offense. They're doing it on both sides of the floor.
And also 7 rebounds from Klay last night. So more than
I was honestly more impressed by Curry's rebounds. He was bringing them down. He was snagging them. It was impressive.
Absolutely. So back to KD defensively. How about that? I mean, the play where Kyrie Irving shooting a jumper in the middle of the lane, and he comes off and helps and just kind of reaches his 7-foot arm out and blocks his jump shot. That kind of just, I think, epitomized this series in that Kyrie gets a good open look. He's got a mismatch. I forget who he was working on. And Kevin Durant just happens to be within range, which for him is like the whole floor.
Yeah.
And he blocks your shot, picks it up. They go the other way, drill a 3 or an open dunk. When he's playing defense like this, how does he rank against some of the best players in the game. If he's putting 5 blocks, 3 steals on the board, and then on the other side putting up 33 points, I mean, what does that do for his individual legacy, for his standing among the league right now?
Let's hop in the time machine and let's go to 2012. Let's go to those finals as well. He has had seven finals games, in his under his belt now. He's averaging over almost 32 points a finals game. In 7 finals games, he's averaging a total of 32 points. This goes back to when he was in the finals against LeBron and the Heat back in that day. He's always been good in the finals, and he's kind of picking up where he left off. People often forget that it was 5 years ago, but he's putting in that same work. Again, times are a little different. He has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He has something to prove here. But Durant going back 7 games in now for finals career, he's averaging ridiculous numbers. And that's good for him, honestly, because he is a top-tier elite Hall of Famer. You know, whether he wins a ring or not, Kevin Durant is up there because his ability to score at will. And again, you said it, 7-footer. This guy, he's listed modestly at 6'11", because let's be real, nobody wants to be a ball handler, scoring, shooting guy and be listed at 7 foot. It just seems off. So this 7 foot, you know, freak of nature, shout out to him. He's been putting in work, and I don't know if he'll ever be LeBron James, but he's going to go down as one of the greatest scorers and one of the best players in this league of all time, and it's only 2 games in. I don't need to see any more. Kevin Durant hasn't cemented his legacy yet, but he's there. He's almost there.
Last night on ESPN's post-game show, Paul Pierce said that Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet right now.
Man, some of these guys are just saying stuff. I'm about to just start throwing stuff on air, Brandon, just so I can get some air time and stuff. Honestly, I think Paul Pierce is doing a phenomenal job as a commentator or broadcaster, whatever he's doing. He's pretty good on TV, but I think that was a ridiculous statement. There's no way you can say that he's the best player on the court in this finals. I mean,
for the record, you're referring LeBron James as the best player on the floor.
And again, this is not coming from a guy who kind of, you know, roots against LeBron. He's entertaining to watch, though, but you got to admit, LeBron, it's LeBron James's league right now, and unless, honestly, LeBron just scores 0 points in the next few games and averages like 9 points all of next year, he's still going to go down as one of the top 3-4 of all time, and I don't know if that's something Durant will be able to accomplish, but Durant, I could definitely see, before it's all said and done, maybe being a top 10, top 5 player of all time.
Yeah, and I think that scoring department, he could already put himself in the conversation. But if we want to talk about these overall legacies, mm-hmm. we got a guy in LeBron James who's been to 7 straight NBA mm-hmm. finals and has 3 rings. And, you know, he's got the resume, whereas Kevin Durant went the one time with Oklahoma City. Now he's back with Golden State. Maybe he wins one now with Golden State, but he's mm-hmm. got a lot of work to do to catch up in that resume department. But is there anything to thinking, okay, maybe the gap's getting closer between LeBron James and the rest of the world. Maybe LeBron, who's 32, is getting caught by Kevin Durant, who's 28, as far as the discussion as who's the best player. Yesterday, when they were guarding each other, Kevin Durant scored 13 points against LeBron, 6 of 9 mm-hmm. from the field. LeBron did not score against Kevin Durant. He was 0 for 3. Mm-hmm. Is there anything to that thinking that, okay, LeBron's still the best player out there. He had a triple-double last night. He has significantly less help around him compared to Kevin Durant, but maybe KD is not that far off of him.
I don't think it's crazy to say that he's that far off. And again, it was a good game. It wasn't evenly matched. I will agree to some extent that, you know, they are a little bit outmatched, probably by a couple guys here. But a better effort we saw by the Cavaliers last night. Durant just too much. And I'll go back to the whole Eastern Conference thing. Yeah, they just strolled through the Eastern Conference, but it kind of talks a lot about the West. LeBron showed his struggles against the West this year and in the previous years. So talks a lot about the West, talks a lot about the style that they play. And this is something I don't think LeBron has ever really seen anything like this before. This up-tempo, really fast-paced offense, and that's giving him some real trouble right now. And Durant to be able to play with anybody in the league, much like LeBron, it's fair to put him in that conversation. Again, will he ever reach LeBron? No, he's not going to. I'll say that now. But
let's play a little hypothetical game. What if Golden State wins 3 straight titles? And now We have LeBron with three and KD with three. LeBron with more appearances.
Yeah.
But KD with more efficiency, you could say. You know, people argue that with MJ, 6 for 6, yeah. Whatever. I mean, I guess that's too far down the road to say. Uh-huh. Maybe let's say KD gets two. They win back to back. You know, somebody else leaves the team or something.
Yeah.
Is it that crazy to think that they could be close in a historical perspective?
They could be, but to see him passing, I don't see it.
Okay. And I think maybe LeBron has the all-around game element over KD. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say KD doesn't make his teammates better, but LeBron certainly does.
Durant, obviously a better shooter, a better scorer.
Absolutely. I mean, LeBron even says, I'm not a scorer.
And
KD's
for him,
the best scorer in the
he
game.
Might even, he has a chance, really, with the opportunity to maybe get up there with Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan in the number 5-4 slots, Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan as far as scoring goes. So he's going to be in the top 10 in many categories, I know that.
Last night, Steve Kerr returned to the bench for the Golden State Warriors after, I think he was out after game 2 of
it was
the
like
first round.
April, yeah, he only was there for the first game against the Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay.
And then after that, he was gone for his back health reasons.
So Mike Brown coaches all the games in between. Yeah. Golden State hasn't lost.
I'm glad Mike Brown got a finals game. Yeah, kind of glad Mike Brown got a finals game. I think that's cool. They were kind of speculating like he was going to come back. He just wanted to give Mike Brown a finals game. I don't know really know if that's true or not, but again, this team, like Teddy said, the NBA, the way it's really player ran. I don't know how much of a difference a coach makes, but